I'm really excited for today's meeting. If you haven't met me, my name is Caitlin. I'm one of the team members here, and it's my privilege to be able to share a word this morning that God has given me for today's service. For those who know, prayer has been something that has been really big on my heart, so this has got aspects of prayer because of the last number of years, God's just been really developing that concept of prayer and how to grow in prayer and the different aspects of it. So we'll be talking a little bit about that today. But the title of my message, well, I don't know if it's a title, but the concept of my message is spiritual warfare. I know the slides will come up in a moment. Spiritual warfare. And this is something that God was growing in my heart over the last few weeks, the concept of how to fight things in the spirit, and that our battle is in the spirit. Our battle is not in the physical realm, it's in the spiritual realm, and how to work through that. So to begin my this morning, I thought I'd start with a little bit of a story, or a few stories actually. So the first story, and maybe people might be able to relate to this story, but this was a number of years ago. I remember, I think I was out with, you know, a group of people from church, and we'd gone out after lunch to Forest Hill, which used, you know, we used to have our church used to be near Forest Hill Shopping Centre, so we'd always go there for lunch. And we were out there for lunch, and I remember walking in the food court, and I saw a guy who I used to work with a number of years ago. Now, I wasn't particularly close to this man. I didn't really know him. And to be honest, I thought, I would be surprised if he really recognised me as, you know, from work. But then I saw him, and then I saw he waved to me. And I thought, well, that's just lovely. He remembers me. That is lovely. And he's actually remembers me enough that he's actually acknowledging me and waving to me in the food court. So I enthusiastically waved back, Andrew. Until that horrible sinking moment, as I'm waving, you just see his eyes kind of not look at me, and you turn, and as I turn around, you see a gentleman behind me who I don't know waving enthusiastically back at his good friend Andrew, and I'm just in the middle of this wave, taking it, and I just, and you know that sinking feeling when you're like, it's not for me, you know, and do you retreat, or do you pretend I'm waving at someone beyond Andrew, or I'm like, what do we do in this moment of just, whew? So I don't know if you can relate to that or another story. So he wasn't waving, he was waving behind me. Or another story, which my family love this story. A few years ago now, I believe the workplace I worked at, so I worked at a school and my original job was in the reception. And part of my job at that reception was doing the late passes every morning and helping the visitors who came. And we had this, my family already at the back are very excited because they know the story that's coming. But a guy came in, you know, a visitor came in to work and he was doing some work at the school. And I had never met this person, but I realised when he came in, I recognised him because I knew his sibling and his sister. I had known his sister. I wasn't super close to his sister, but I was close to, like I had known his sister quite well for a number of years, and because of her, I knew of him, and I was friends with her on Facebook, so I had seen, like, this guy's face, obviously, in her photos on Facebook, so I knew who he was, I knew where he worked, because, you know, I'd been sort of connected to it, and I knew his sister, and the workplace had sort of connected us all, so I knew, you knew where he worked. So as he came in, I'm like, oh, that's that person, I know him. So I'm like, I'm going to be brave and sort of talk to him and say, like, oh, you know, I know you, and foolishly, my lead out question was, you work at such and such, don't you? And named his workplace. Now, for somebody who doesn't know me, that's quite an alarming opening sentence, I realised later on. It's like someone, you work at Breakthrough. Like, yes. So I'm like, oh, you work at, you know, you work at that book place, don't you? And he, in, you know, absolute terror, just sort of looks at me like, yes. Yes, I do. And I'm realizing, oh my gosh, I freaked him out. And I was like, he doesn't know me. Just because I know him doesn't mean he knows me. And I was like, oh no, you know, I'm like, I'll fix this situation. I'm like, I've seen you on Facebook. I've seen you on Facebook, seen your phone on Facebook. And then my Lord, it was like, whoa, stalker, stalker, stalker. And I'm like, Jesus, oh my gosh. And I'm like, oh no, I've just like, you know, I know your sister. You know, I've known her quite well. I've seen her. I've seen you on her Facebook. And he's like, okay, yep. And like, you know, and I was like, come on, man, give me something. I'm trying to make this, you know, in my defense, he wasn't coming to the party of trying to meet me middle ground, but he was just like, okay, yep, freaky, crazy lady. She's like, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, no, I know your sister, and like desperately, awkwardly trying to resolve this. I'm not a freak. I'm not stalking you. I know you, and I know you don't know me, but I was just trying to be friendly. And then as this horribly awkward encounter comes, because I work at a school, I don't know how many people in here know Elliot, who's one of our super kids. Amazing kid. He also goes to the school that I work at. He came in that morning for a late pass, so he walks in, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Someone else. I'm like, Elliot's here. I'm going to talk to Elliot because, you know, break. So Elliot comes, and he walks behind this gentleman. So I'm like, oh, thank God, Elliot. I'm like, oh, hi. And, you know, I know Elliot very well, and I know his family very well. So, again, I don't remember exactly how this happened, but this is the gist of it, that my, like, opening sort of line to Elliot was like, how's your mum? Because I know Elliot's mum really well. Not realizing Elliot's standing behind the gentleman who I've had this really awkward encounter with. So he just looks up to me and he's like, whoa, crazy lady. And he's like, she's good. Yep, she's good. And I'm like, no, my God, not you. I don't know your mom. I don't know your mom. I'm not asking about your mom. I'm asking about Elliot's mom. But it's like, oh, that's great. And Elliot has your mom. Good. Everyone's mum's good. Okay, fantastic. Let's go. Let's keep going. And I'm like, Jesus, let me never see this person again in my life. Please, this side of heaven. But I won't go into it now, but as my family know, unfortunately, we had more awkward encounters as the days went on. But anyway, I'm not a stalker and I'm not creepy, just so you know. But the moral of the story was I was not talking to him. I was talking to the person behind him. And he mistakenly thought I was talking to him. I was asking about Elliot's mum, Jasmine, who I'm very dear friends with, not his mum, who I'm sure is lovely, but I've never met. I care about his mum, but, you know, probably our friendship would develop before I ask about his mum. Anyway, so I don't know if you can relate to either of those stories. Have you been on the receiving end of an awkward wave and you realise, oh, they're waving behind me? Or have you been on the receiving end of a conversation that, you know, you've answered someone realizing, oh, they weren't talking to me, they were talking to the person behind me, and it's awkward. But, you know, that can sometimes work in the spirit as well. So sometimes we can be addressing something, we can be addressing this, but what we're actually seeing is the surface level and the problem, and the real thing is standing behind that surface level. So we're talking to this person, we're waving, you know, here, when in fact the real thing is actually behind that. What we're seeing is the result of the problem, but the core is actually totally different in the spirit. So that's what we're going to look at today. What's behind you? I don't know if that can, but what's behind you? What's standing behind that surface? What spirit's behind? And in fact, to help us get started, I'm going to invite Brooke, if you wouldn't mind coming up. And maybe Chris, would you mind coming up as well? Everyone can give them a hand as they come up. You know, go. You guys can be my illustration just for a few minutes. Good. I would ask Caleb, but he's not here because I was his illustration for his service a few weeks ago. Chris just said, wait till one of them preaches and I'll be up. So, you know, sometimes we look at the surface level. So I don't know if you ever prayed a prayer like something like, Lord, make that person less disagreeable. Make that person less disagreeable. When God's saying, actually, the issue is not their disagreeableness. The issue is you've got a deep heart of insecurity that you need to solve. Or, you know, Lord, make that thing stop. Make that thing stop. And it's like, actually, no, there's something totally different standing behind that issue. That's not the actual problem. So I don't know if anyone has ever been around a toddler before. I suspect most people have been around a toddler. I don't know if anyone's been around a hungry toddler before. So I know, Brooke, if you would come and be our toddler, if you want to just stand over here, our beautiful two-year-old. Brooke and Chris, if you want to just come and stand sort of over here, so behind Brooke essentially. So over here you've got the toddler, and over here you've got the hunger standing behind the toddler. So sometimes in the toddler you see the result and the surface, but behind is this deep root issue of hunger popping up. And sometimes if you've been around a toddler, the hunger can tend to affect the surface level sometimes in a toddler. Now, you know, so for example, something might maybe really big maybe happened to the toddler's life, like they picked up the red texter when they meant to pick up the blue texter. You know, something really big and deep. That's green, sorry. They picked up the green texter and they meant to pick up the blue texter, and they can have an almighty... Why? And it can be... What? Why? 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 like this. Oh my gosh. Why did you make me pick up the blue one when I wanted the green one? And it's your fault, and we're on the ground, and things are flying. And you can be in the middle of the shopping center, and things are flying, and you fall down. Oh my goodness. And any mature adult can realize, now there's two options in this situation. The adult can say, I can fix this problem. Blue texter. Here you go. You wanted the blue texter.
Where's the green one?
Go, oh. Or an adult who has a little bit of, maturity and understanding can go, actually, would you like some food? Would you like some food? Would you like something to eat? Because here is the toddler with the issue of the crayon or the texters, but the actual issue is, I want some food. In behind is the hunger. Chris is the issue in the toddler, is the hunger is causing the toddler to react. So an adult says, hey, I see this surface level. I'm not going to give you the blue texter. I'm going to come and give you a sandwich. Because, don't. If Brooke thinks something's wrong, don't go, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Let me get Chris. Get some food. Chris, get some food. And you get some food. Because the hunger can impact the toddler. And you realize what we're seeing here is just the surface. What the actual issue is the hunger. So give them a hand. They can sit down. Hold on. Sorry? Yeah, as we said, it's not just toddlers sometimes that hunger affects. That is probably the most condescending thing you can hear an adult say to you. Are you hungry? Or are you tired? And you're like, yeah, go. I'll take some food. I've got a beautiful nephew, 2-year-old nephew, and the thing with him is he doesn't have this issue. Hunger and tiredness never impact him because he's just perfect, and we're not biased. But sometimes there might not be the issue, but one of the things that can cause a little bit of just trauma in his heart is like something really big, like his one of his favourite songs at the moment is a Wiggle song called I'm a Cow. So we asked for the song I'm a Cow, I'm a Cow. I'm like, okay, I'll put the I'm a Cow song on, and you put it on from like the Best Of album, and he wanted the version that's on the Big Red Car album, and it's like this big deal. So you put on I'm a Cow, and it's like, oh my goodness. Like, I've put on I'm a Cow. I don't know what's going on. And then something, oh, you want the version from the other album. Quickly put it on, and he's like, oh, thank you. Like, that's all I wanted. Like, it's big things in life. And then you're like, would you like some food maybe? Would the food help this issue? But basically, so there's an issue, but there's something standing behind. And that's what we're looking at this morning in the Spirit. So can we all go to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. And we'll look at a story which is quite famous and probably one that people enjoy quoting for the wrong reasons. But Matthew 16, verse 21. So I'm just going to read the story here. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. And the very famous scripture. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but of the things of man. But that line, get behind me, Satan. Whew, can you imagine standing in front of Jesus and he says, get behind me, Satan, from after something you've said. Now, do you believe in that moment that Jesus suddenly realized, oh, Peter's actually the devil? Peter is the devil in human form. He's been hiding here all this time. This is the devil in human form. I don't know if anyone else has ever thought, I've found the devil in human form before. Maybe no show of hands, please. Definitely no husbands and wives, no shows of hands. You know, you mean me like, I've found the devil and he's in this human here. No, Jesus didn't suddenly think Peter was Satan. I believe, from my understanding, that in that moment, Jesus was not speaking to Peter. He was speaking to the Spirit standing behind Peter. So Peter was here speaking, but behind him was a spirit at work. And Jesus was speaking to the spirit when he said, get behind me, Satan. And why did he say that? Why is it such a big deal? Why didn't he just say, oh, Peter, you actually, you don't understand. You know, Peter was just trying to be nice. He's like, no, I don't want you to die. He was just trying to be nice, you might think. Like, no, but what Peter actually said, because Jesus had just prophesied his death, but he'd also prophesied his resurrection. This is something, I've got notes in my Bible from Bible college in 2012 that Dad, Pastor Peter, preached. And he said, Jesus just prophesied his death and his resurrection. And what Peter just did was prophesy against that. He said, that will never happen. That will never happen. Peter was coming against the word of the Lord that says, I will rise again. And Peter was saying, no, that won't happen. That won't happen. And Jesus, knowing the importance of what he had just spoken and the importance of what Peter was trying to, and the enemy was using Peter to try to cut across, he immediately was like, no, we need to take authority over this spirit. This spirit is trying to stop the resurrection. This spirit is trying to cut across my plans on this earth. So he immediately says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Take authority over that spirit. Get behind me. He was speaking to the spirit that was at work behind Peter. So today we want to look at what are the spirits that can be at work behind things and how can we take authority over them and start seeing things not just on this surface level, but start seeing the spirits that are at work behind. You know, there was another story, maybe we can turn there really quickly, in Matthew 17, a couple of chapters later. And verse 14, and this is, you know, quite a famous story, and it's retold a few different times in the Gospels, but I'll read this version in Matthew 17, verse 14, and it says, and when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, and kneeling before him, said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was instantly healed. So he rebuked the demon. He rebuked the spirit. Now, in the different passages, there's different things. It says he rebukes the unclean spirit. In Mark, he says he spoke to the mute and deaf spirit in him, and he commanded it to leave. And I actually found it interesting that in the different Gospels, how the boy is described differently. I think in Mark, he's described as a demon-possessed boy. In Luke, I believe, if I got it right, he is described as a boy who had an unclean spirit. In Matthew, he's described as a boy who had epilepsy. And I found that quite interesting because often you can see the end result and think, oh, you know, that was a spirit at work. But before that, you couldn't necessarily see that it was a spirit. You just saw the effects. And it was somebody who had epileptic fix. So it was somebody who was suffering in that way. But I love that Jesus looked at him. And Jesus looked at this boy and immediately he didn't see what was happening. He didn't see the surface. He didn't see the issue. He looked at what was happening behind it. He immediately sees in the eye of the spirit that this is the spirit that needs to be cast out. He immediately looks in the boy and says, in the name of Jesus, he probably didn't say in the name of Jesus because he was Jesus. He said, you know, come out, and commands it to be gone. And what did he say? He rebuked the demon and immediately it came out of him. He spoke to the spirit that was at work behind the boy. And out over here is the effect of what's happening, but at work behind it is a spirit. And Jesus said, I don't need to speak to this right now. I need to speak to the spirit that's at work and command it and give authority over it. And it comes out and the boy's instantly healed. So what I'm saying today, now I'm not saying, oh, everybody, if anybody's suffering from epilepsy, you go over and say, oh, is that, you know, I'm going to cast out a demon. You know, I'm not saying if somebody's sick, you're going to say, oh, is this a demon possessed? I'm saying that there's spiritual forces at work. And every situation, what is the same on the outside can be totally different in the spiritual realm. What we're seeing over here can have so many different things impacting it. You know, over here, you can see there's somebody here and they've got a broken leg and there's someone here and they've got a broken leg. And, you know, when you tap into the Spirit, the Holy Spirit can say, this person needs to go and forgive their mother. There's a spirit of unforgiveness that needs to be cleaned. Over here, it says there's a spirit of sickness that just needs to be taken authority of and cast out. But if we're just seeing it in a natural, it's just two people with the same symptoms, but when we step back in the spirit, there's things that are happening behind it in the spirit that we need to see and say, Holy Spirit, give us wisdom. What do we need to cast out here? What needs to be taken authority over? Because I can just see this in the natural, but behind is something at work. And like in this story, it says the disciples didn't know how to cast it out, didn't know what to do. And then Jesus, you know, taught them how to do it. But Jesus comes immediately. A boy that is described in three different ways, with people seeing sort of three different causes almost of his illness and three different causes of what he's going through. But immediately, Jesus just saw the spirit that needed to be cast down and taken authority over and work. You know, in the story of Peter, immediately, Jesus doesn't see Peter. He sees the spirit that's at work behind and to take authority over it. So this morning, we're going to look at how we can take authority of the spirits that are behind the things in our life. So when we're praying and when we're going through spiritual warfare, we can have authority and we can start seeing how much more effective we can be if we're not just seeing what's in the surface, but what's standing behind. You know, I'm going to ask, sorry, Brooke, I'll ask you to come up one more time. Last time, she's not a toddler this time. This time she's Brooke. If you just come and stand just right here, Brooke, sorry. You can still throw a tantrum. You know, I don't think the spirit of tantrums is restricted to kids. You know, this is Brooke. And I watched a Believer's Voice of Victory from a number of years ago, I think this week on YouTube, and it was Pastor Billy Brim and Pastor Gloria Copeland. And Miss Billy Brim did this amazing example, which I'm going to steal, but I'm recognizing she did this, and I'm doing it now. And she said, I ask a bit of a trick question, and you can ask everyone, can you all see Brooke? Yes. We can all see Brooke, but technically the correct answer is no, she would say, because she said, what you can see is Brooke's body. Now, she didn't use Brooke because she didn't know Brooke, but the person there, she's like, you know, you can see Brooke's body. Who Brooke is her spirit man, inner man inside. That's who she is, but you can see her body. So you can sit down. Thank you, Brooke. Give her another hand. I don't think I'll ask you up again. But what you can see is her body. But she said, you need to begin to realize that we are spirit men, that what we have here is not us. Yeah. The real us is inside, and that's the inner man, and that's the spirit. We are spirits. And Brother Keith Moore says, we are spirits who have a soul who live in a body. Yeah. And the more you get that ingrained in you, I'll say that again, we are spirits who have a soul and who live in a body. But once you get that ingrained, that who I am at my core is the spirit, everything else is coming with the spirit, but who I am is the spirit man, my inner man inside, then I think we can start to be so much more effective, because the more we realize and see ourselves as God sees us, as spirits, it makes more sense how to fight the battles around us. When I start taking off my physical eyes and start putting on my spiritual eyes and see myself as spirits, start seeing everything around me in the spiritual realm, I realize, hey, the battle we're fighting is in the spirit. It's not in the physical. You know, the battle I'm fighting is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle, because I see myself as a spirit and I start seeing the battlefield around me as a spiritual battlefield. If you come with me to Ephesians 6, an amazing passage of scripture. Ephesians chapter 6. I've been reading Ephesians just over the last couple of weeks. I've started reading it, and it's just some incredible truths in it. I mean, I've lost Ephesians in my Bible. You know what? I'll read it in this one because it's already marked. We can go Ephesians chapter 6. Sorry, talk amongst yourself for a second. Here you go. I know Ephesians isn't here this morning. There we go. Starting with the Philippians. All right, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Now, I won't read through everything for time's sake, but then it talks about the armor of God and everything in there. And then in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. What an amazing, amazing passage of Scripture. Let's just go look at verse number 12 again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's what we've been saying. The more we start to realize our battle is not in the natural. Our battle is not in the physical. Our battle is in the spirit. We do not fight flesh and blood. We fight in the spirit. We fight the cosmic powers. We fight the spiritual forces that are standing behind things. And the more we start to realize that and take off our physical eyes and start seeing in our spiritual eyes how much more effective we can be in His kingdom as we start to take authority over those spirits around us. So, what are some of the spirits and the spiritual forces behind things we face, and how can we fight them? I'm just going to talk about 2 points. That question can be answered in 3 million different ways, but I'm just going to bring 2 points before us. What are some of the spirits and spiritual forces behind the things we face, and how can we fight them? Number one is to be alert. You know, even just then in verse 18, it says, praying at all times in spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. And I would also say, keep alert and keep aware. You know, be vigilant. The more we start to see this, and we need to start recognizing the spiritual forces that are at work around us. You know, I want to start saying, making this practical. What kind of atmosphere is in your homes? What kind of things are going on in your home? Start taking control of the atmosphere that are at work in your home. You know, is there a spirit of strife that's trying to take a hold of the atmosphere in your home? Is there a spirit of jealousy that's trying to come in? You know, have you just been feeling really agitated lately? And maybe there's a spirit of self-pity that's trying to creep in to you. Start being aware and not just seeing the results, but start saying, Lord, what's behind that? What do we need to take authority of that? You know, are you on edge all the time? And, you know, you're thinking, well, you know, I'm on edge all the time. Maybe I need a holiday. Maybe I need less work. Maybe I need work to, you know, give me a day off. When in fact, there's actually a spirit of fear that needs to be dealt with. And there's a spirit of fear that's been creeping in. And that spirit of fear needs to be cast out in the name of Jesus. And that can be causing that constant feeling of on edge and you know, and concern. So stop dealing with the surface level, but start recognizing the spiritual forces that are happening around you and in your homes or coming in. You know, I want to say, what spirits are you hanging around? Be alert to that. You know, in our life group at the moment, I know a few other life groups are studying the same book. It's called Rule Your Day by Joel Osteen. It's an amazing book. And one of the things he says in the first chapter is that spirits are transferable. So he said, be careful about the spirits that you're hanging around. You know, that sounds very spiritually, it's very spiritual in God, but it's true. Be careful about the spirits that you're hanging around, because they will transfer. I don't just sit in my little spiritual box here and nothing can come and affect. What I'm hanging around will impact and come in me. And if I'm hanging around things that are not spirits, that are spiritual forces of the enemy, that's going to be coming and impacting me and my future and my life. You know, I want to give a practical example. That a number of years ago, Cam and I, my husband Cam and I, were watching a TV show, you know, something I love doing, watching shows, and we're watching a TV show, and I'm not going to name it because the story is not about naming and shaming shows, but it was a show that we're watching, and look, it wasn't a bad show. I would say a good portion of people in this room has probably seen this show. It's not a bad show, but it was just, for whatever reason, this show had an impact on us, and we were watching the show. And we started realizing that after we'd watched the TV show, it was impacting the atmosphere of our home. So we would watch this show together, and then suddenly later on, you'd be feel there'd be this real sort of spirit of sadness and heaviness just dwelling in both of us, a real sort of spirit of just despair. You know, maybe later on we'd be watching it, maybe an hour after the show, we would sort of be bickering with each other, and we didn't know why. Like, what's going on? Like, why are we sort of just on edge with each other? And the more we realized it, we started to realize, I remember one time We watched an episode so clearly, and Cam just said, he said, this show is impacting us. He said that this, like, the spirit of this show is, like, actually impacting the atmosphere of our home. And there's something about this show that when we watch it, it's like a spirit of sadness and despair comes into us, and we go away feeling heavy, and we go away, and it's like starts impacting our days. You know, and then when you start to look at the show, you realize, yeah, it is. Like all good TV shows, there's never a happy ending because they have to keep you. They have to keep you coming back. So there's always things that were going wrong. At the end of the show, it was like always something, you know, you almost get to the good thing and then something like some terrible disaster and tragedy would happen. And it was just like this constant sense of sort of, oh, despair, and nothing was getting resolved and nothing was happy. And look, I said, I'm not saying, oh, the TV show is evil and terrible, but there was a spirit in it that was impacting us. And we started realizing it was transferring over to us. And so we just made that call. We said, we do not want that. We do not want this in our home. And we cut. We're like, I don't care, you know, if we don't know the ending. We're not watching this anymore. And I think at that point, we actually did a bit of an audit of all the things we were watching. And like I said, we weren't watching filth. But we just start thinking, you know what? We probably don't need to watch that. We probably don't need to watch that anymore. Because you know what? There's a spirit of, you know, disrespect or arrogance that's just all over that show or that movie. We just, you know what? Not saying it's terrible, but I'm just saying we're just gonna cut it. And I can't tell you the difference that we felt internally and in our home and in our atmosphere and in our marriage moving forward, suddenly feeling like the spirit at work in us. It was like, oh, there was such a different spirit at work. And that doesn't mean we're all the way there. We're constantly learning and constantly growing and constantly adapting. But that thing, now we had to make a choice. You know what, this spirit is actually transferring over us and impacting us in a way that's negative, in a way that's not the fruits of the Spirit, that's not what God wants in our life. So be careful about the things that are around you. You know, another story from just a few weeks ago, not long ago, I was meeting up with some people. Nobody connected here to here, so don't start trying to guess. But I was connecting with some people, and I knew these people, like they're nice people, but they had a tendency to complain. There were some people that had a tendency to sort of gossip and complain when they were together. And I was coming, you know, just to hang out with them. And I thought, you know what, I'm going in knowing this, so I'm going to be ready. And I'm going to make sure that when I hang out with them, if they start gossiping or complaining, I'm going to shut my mouth and I'm not going to take part in that. I'm not going to enter in. Even if the temptation is there to sort of join in, I'm not going to do it. So we went there. I saw them, we're hanging out, and very soon the woe is me chant began, you know, and they started they're sort of getting complaining, they got caught up complaining about all they had to do and all the things and how it was unfair and how overworked they were, and, you know, even though they're overworked, they still have to do this, and it's not fair when they do this and other people don't have to do this, and it was like the woe is me, you know, there was just gossip, complain, and you know what, I sat there and I thought, no, I'm not going to enter in, I'm not going to join in this. I'm just going to sort of sit there quietly thinking, yep, good job, Caitlin. Tick. Good job. You didn't enter in. You know, and like I said, I'm not, this was not a healthy, I genuinely need counsel and to walk this through with somebody. You know, I'm not against that. You know, there are people and there are good avenues to do that. There's a genuine, I need to actually meet with my pastor. I need to meet with my friend from life group and genuinely talk this through in a godly manner. This was a spirit of woe is me, complaining, self-pity, self-righteousness, arrogance, pride, just I am the most overworked person in the world kind of feeling, which you don't have to go very far to find in the world. Anyway, I sat there. So then I went home like, yep, there was, I said, spirits of self-pity, complaining, frustration, pride. And then so, you know, I went on much, much later, hours later that day, I just got up and went to do something in the house, like just a chore in the house, and internally I lost it. Like, it was literally just, I went to it, and internally it was like, this is so unfair. Why am I doing this? I'm so overworked. You know, I work all day. Do I have to do this? You know, and suddenly it was just like I was full of self-pity, of woe is me. You know, like, why am I doing this? Because I've done this all day and I've done this. And gosh, I hadn't, you know, such and such doesn't have to do this and they don't have to do this. Why do I have to do this? What about me? What about my life? How is that? Blah, 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 unfair. And I was just like full of this concept of, you know, whew, you know, just, I'm so overworked. And it was not a healthy sense of overworked. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit so clearly brought back that conversation that I had sat in earlier the day. And I was like, no, I didn't say anything. I didn't take part. I did my Christian duty, and I sat there and didn't take part. And it was like the Holy Spirit was like, that doesn't matter. You sat there. You sat there. And you let that spirit of complaining, of self-pity, just come in. And here you are hours later, suddenly realizing that's been festering in me. And here it is coming out. And I was like, oh, it's so, that, and I was like, I'm so sorry, Lord, that's so true. And it was just like the spiritual weight that was in me. And you're like, oh, wow, she's a terrible person and she's preaching this morning. My goodness. The people you let up on stage, I know. Here I am, and I had to start casting that out. I had to say, in the name of Jesus, I cast out that spirit of self-pity. I cast out that spirit of woe is me. You know, I cast that out in the name of Jesus. Now, like I said, I'm not saying you can't deal with problems. I'm saying this was not the way to deal with problems. And I was sitting there, and you know, to be honest, I cast things out, but I had a really crummy night as a result of that. Like, my night was pretty crummy because I was feeling all yuck inside. But I had sat there letting those spirits come in me, and then here they are impacting what I am. But again, I could say, well, the solution is, okay, I'm going to, you know, we're going to start a roster and we're all going to, you know, take turns doing this particular house chore, or we're going to do this. No, that wasn't the problem. The problem was the spirit that was attacking me, the spirit of self-pity, the spirit of frustration, of complaint, the spirit of pride. So I want to say, start putting on your spiritual eyes and saying, what are the things, so be careful, start being aware, start being careful what you're hanging around. Do you need to do a bit of an audit in your life and saying, Lord, what are the things I'm letting in? But then start putting your spiritual eyes and saying, Lord, what's behind this? Is there a spirit of fear, a spirit of jealousy, a spirit of insecurity, a spirit of bitterness, a spirit of greed, a spirit of lust, you know, a spirit of grumpiness behind this? I had this precious little boy at school one day come up to me. I think he's in like year three. And he came up and I was like, hey, how are you? You know, how are you today? He said, you know what? I woke up with a spirit of grumpiness, but I stomped that spirit out and I'm okay now. And I was like, I think I need to stomp my spirit of grumpiness out a bit. It's like Monday morning and I'm not feeling particularly perky. And he was like, I've stomped that spirit out and we're okay now. And I was like, well done. Well done. I was like, you've got a great mum and dad for teaching you that. And I came back to the office and I said to my boss, I said, we've got to stamp out the spirit of grumpiness, because if he can do it, I can do it. You know, and I thought, that's so true. He woke up and he's like, I'm aware there's a spirit of grumpiness trying to come upon me today, and I'm going to take authority over it. I thought, I'm like, well done. That's amazing. You know, I've been reading, as I said, I've been reading through a lot in the book of Ephesians, and it talks a lot about the different spirits that God says to leave. You know, I'm just going to list them out, to won't take the time to go through it. And in Ephesians 5:3, it says, have nothing to do with these. And he talks about the spiritual of the sexual immorality, spirit of lust, the spirit of greed. You know, in Ephesians 4, it talks about being faithful to God, the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Ephesians 4, again, it talks about, you know, because of spiritual apathy, they surrender their lives to the spirit of lewdness, impurity, sexual obsession. You know, again, in chapter 4, it talks on about a spirit of anger, not letting the spirit of anger control you. It says, don't give the devil an opportunity to manipulate you. He said, never grieve the spirit of God. He said, lay aside bitter words. Lay aside the spirit of temper tantrums. It actually says that in the, The Passion. The Passion version actually says, you know, temper tantrums. And that's what I said, lay aside. As adults, we can have a spirit of temper tantrum try to come upon us. And we said, no, we are resisting that. Spirits of revenge, profanity, you know, words that, like, it talks about the importance of what words we're speaking in the spirit of that. So I'm saying, if we can see in the spiritual realm, God says, have nothing to do with them and take authority of them. Be spiritually alert. Because if we are so consumed with what we can see, if we are so consumed, you know, with the things that are the results, and we're not seeing the spirits behind, we're not actually impacting. If we're not seeing, you know what? I'm just going to pray in the spirit, and I just recognize there's a real spirit, you know, of bitterness in this place. We need to just cast that out. We need to deal with that right now, because I'm not just going to get caught up in up here. I'm looking behind. What's behind it? And we're going to take authority. We're not going to be spiritually, you know, it says, spiritual apathy. We're not going to be lazy. I'm not going to be, you know, just here and just sort of thinking, oh, it's going to be okay. I'm going to be active. I'm going to be alert. I'm going to be aware. You know, I'm not going going to underestimate spirits. I'm not going to play with fire. I'm not going to like meet with those people. Like, I'm not just going to hang around and say, it's going to be okay. I'm not going to take part. I'm just going to be here. No, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to be alert and aware. And I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to stand close to the fire. I'm not going to go into places where I know that things are going to be trying to impact me. I'm not going to go to that group that I know is just going to be feeding a spirit, you know, of pride. I'm going to say no in the name of Jesus. And I'm not going to play on the edge. I'm not going to underestimate the influence and the power of the spiritual forces around me. And I'm not going to underestimate the power of the enemy forces that are trying to come in. And I'm going to say no, and I'm going to stand up and be alert and fight it in the name of Jesus. So number one, be alert and be aware. And finally, number two, use the name. You know, there are so many ways to fight in the spirit. If you just read Ephesians 6, it lists the whole armor of God. It says fight it with peace, you know, with righteousness, with love. There are so many things to do. We can sow seeds, we can worship. But I'm just going to focus on one thing right now, and that's to use the name of Jesus. In Matthew 28:19, we'll just turn there really quick. He said, go therefore, the Great Commission, or actually we'll go 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go in my name. You know, it says all authority has been given to you. Now in my name, do this. You know, again, I'm just going to read a few scriptures out. We won't turn them for time. In Matthew 10:1, he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits. Then he said to go cast them out and to heal every disease and infliction. You know, in Acts 16, verse 18, it shows him saying, a girl who was demon-possessed, and he said, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And it came out of her that very hour. You know, in Luke 10, verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and it said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us when we're in your name. In your name, every demon is subject to us when we are operating in your name. You know, lastly, in Acts 3, 6, the famous story, Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, I'm commanding that spirit, and I'm saying, rise up and walk. You know, I just suddenly had that revelation, you know, my interpretation last night as I was reading that story, I thought that's so incredible that, you know, Peter didn't even say be healed. He didn't say that. He spoke directly to that man, and I believe his inner man, his spirit, his real man, and he said, I'm speaking to that spirit. I'm saying rise up and walk, and the body followed suit as he spoke to the man, and as we know, the real man is the spirit, and he said, I'm commanding you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The body followed suit because he rose up and walked. Every spirit left. So I'm saying that one way that we can fight in the spiritual realm is to use the name of Jesus, that all authority has been given to us, that every knee must bow to the name of our God, that every demon, in Acts 1, it says every demon, sorry, in Luke, it says every demon is subject to us when we're in your name, when we're in your name. So church, I'm saying, let's start seeing in our spiritual eyes and start seeing the spiritual field and the battlefield around us and say, I'm going to start commanding, and I'm going to be aware and I'm going to be alert. I'm not just going to see what's on the outside. I'm going to say, Lord, show me in the spirit. Show me what we need to command. Show me what, is there a spirit that is trying to attack in this place? Is there a spirit, you know, of jealousy? Is there a spirit of lust, a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of sickness that is trying to come in and say, Lord, I'm going to start commanding in the name of Jesus. I'm going to command it to leave. You know, I don't know if someone at the back, if you can just grab this Subi Kids, because we'll start coming back, start finishing up in a minute. But, you know, we need to start taking authority of our homes, of our atmosphere. You know, what in your home can you start taking authority over? You know, I'm not saying, you know, here, this isn't a message to say, oh my gosh, I need to be afraid. Oh my gosh, there's like demonic powers at work around me. You know, when Pastor Bruce spoke a few weeks ago and he said, you know, the angels at work, if we could just see in the spirit, there is so much going on in the spirit. There's angels around, there's forces at work. And I'm not trying to make you afraid and go, oh my gosh, like, you know, the demons, is there spirits trying to attack me? I'm saying, no, I'm empowering you, because in the name of Jesus, every demon comes underneath you. I'm empowering you to actually fight what's going on, to say, I'm going to start seeing what's actually happening, and I'm going to start fighting with the authority and the spirit that was within me, and I'm going to start casting them out. You know, what is going on in your home? Is there spirits of strife in your home? Parents, are you going to start going out and saying, look, we're just going to, we're taking authority over this spirit of strife. We're taking authority over this spirit that is trying to come to us. You know, what can we do to rule our homes, to rule the atmosphere around us, and to start taking authority over that? Why don't you just stand up with me for a minute, and worship team, you can start coming up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know what? Maybe just like Cam and me, you need to start take. Maybe you need to take a bit of an audit of the things around you. You know, maybe you want to do what we did and say, Lord, we're just going to reassess some of the things that we're allowing into our home. They might not be bad. People will probably, you know, people would laugh at me if I told you the things that we cut out of our home. They would laugh and think that's ridiculous, because it's like, that's not bad. I'm saying, I don't care what you think. I recognize that we just don't want to let that in. We don't want that in our home. You know, maybe you need to take an audit of the things that are around you. Now, parents, you know, I am so grateful for parents who recognize this as we were growing up. You know, they were so particular about the things that we let in our home. You know, little things like, you know, we didn't watch TV shows or movies where kids were disrespectful to their parents or disrespectful to authority. We didn't watch things when we were little where kids were speaking back or talking, saying that their parents were stupid and things like that. And you know what? I couldn't even fathom now speaking back to authority or speaking back to my parents, because it was so ingrained in me that we are people of respect, that we are people that walk in love, that we are people who walk in submission, you know? And then some of the things I see, you know, obviously with school, I see things that kids are exposed to, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, no wonder they're speaking back to all of their parents and all of their, you know, teachers, because I see the things, the spirits that are coming in through what they're watching. You know, and I'm not looking down in judgment and saying, oh, don't do this, don't do that. I'm just saying, be aware. And that's absolutely every person. You are head of your home, and the Holy Spirit will show you what is right for your home. So, you know, maybe, is there things that you're, you know, maybe are you working through battles of fear? Maybe you got to take a bit of an audit, and the Holy Spirit will say, stop reading a horror book every night before you go to bed. If you're battling with nightmares, stop filling your mind with this, because that spirit of fear is coming in and it's giving you nightmares. Maybe it will be as simple as that. Maybe there'll be something deeper and you're saying, Lord, I just need to cast out this spirit of fear that keeps coming into our home. I don't know what the source is. Maybe the Holy Spirit will show you something that seems unrelated. Or maybe it'll just be, Lord, there's a spirit of fear that keeps trying to come in, and we're just going to stand up and take authority over it in the name of Jesus. I don't know what it is that's around us. I don't know what it is that you're facing. I don't know what you might be feeling attacked with sickness or with emotional things or with spiritual things or things that are going on, and you're saying, Lord, help me see with my spiritual eyes and start walking in the authority I have in the name of Jesus, and start casting out the things. You know, I as we start, you know, coming, can you just speak in tongues? As we start realizing the authority we have in Jesus, as we start rising up in that authority, as we start realizing that I am a warrior, I'm a son and daughter of the King, that I am righteousness of God, that I am His son and His daughter. As I start realizing the power that is within me, I'm going to start. This is the last day. And our brother Jerry says something. He said, this is the last day that the devil can rule your house. This is the last day the devil can rule your marriage. This is the last day the devil can rule your kids. When you start realizing the authority and you're saying, I'm going to stand up and fight in the spirit, I'm going to start commanding that spirit to leave in the name of Jesus. That spirit of infirmity, that spirit of sickness, it must leave my home, and it does not belong here. I'm going to start speaking into that spirit of jealousy that comes in, and it must leave in the name of Jesus, and you must be gone in the name of Jesus. As we start doing this and we say, Lord, we are taking authority over the spiritual realm. We are going to be your vessels. Holy Spirit, open up our spiritual eyes to see what is around us, what's around us in our community, and to start taking that authority in the name of Jesus. That worship team are going to sing an amazing song, which I so appreciate. They've done incredible. I just said to them a few days ago, hey, this is on my heart. Can we do this? And them, as the legends they are, said, absolutely, we're doing that. So let's sing this song, and then we're going to worship, and we might have some time of prayer afterwards. But let's sing this song, and we say, in the name of Jesus, the spirits around us must come under his authority and be cast out in Jesus' name. Go ahead, guys.
I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, you have no place here. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Welcome here to go. Here, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Envy and jealousy, you have no place here. I command you to leave in Jesus' name.
Jesus. So we're going to get them to sing the song again. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I want to ask every person to say, what are you going to take authority over right now? What in your life are you saying the Holy Spirit is saying, that's what I want you to take authority over and to leave? Maybe I'm sort of feeling my heart, just pick one thing. that you're saying, I really want to put my faith and tell that to leave in the name of Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Is there something in your son and your daughter? Is there something in your home, in your marriage? Is there something in your emotions, in your bodies, in your work? And you're saying, Holy Spirit, I just want to command that to leave. You know, I believe there might be people here, and there might be something you have been suffering with for years. Maybe there's an addiction. Maybe there's something that you've been suffering for years, and you say, but I haven't seen it broken. In the name of Jesus this morning, God can break that. In the name of Jesus this morning, that can be broken at its root. That which you have suffered for years, that which has held you captive, that which you have struggled with this morning, it can be broken in Jesus' name if you put your faith and connect to that. So they're going to sing this song again. And I want you to just say, what am I going to do? What are we commanding? You can stand your seats if you want to come out the front and you just want to say, I just want to do something to say, that's what I'm doing. This area is open. And then at the very end, I'm going to ask our pastor to come up and lead a prayer as he commands and takes authority and says, our God reigns in our lives, and he's going to finish with prayer. But over this song, you're saying, bring it up in your heart. Take this time, say this one thing. And if you want to come out the front, you're welcome to. But as they sing this song one more time.
Spirit of doubt, you have no place here. Command you to leave in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, you have no place here. Command you to leave in Jesus' name. Jealousy, you have a place here. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Go back from whence you came, cause our God reigns here. Our God reigns here. We claim this ground in Jesus' name.
Again, thanks, Josh. Hallelujah. You declare the battle is won. The battle is won because God reigns in this situation. God reigns. You name that situation right now. You say the battle is won because God reigns in that situation. I take authority over it in the name of Jesus. I begin to speak the word of God over it. I give the promises and the provisions that God has given me. I declare those in this place. Where there's sickness, I declare health. Where there's lack, I declare provision. Where there is strife, I declare peace. Hallelujah. Where there is bondage, I declare freedom. Hallelujah. Where my mind is trapped, I declare liberty and wholeness. I think clearly. I am not oppressed. I am not under the heel of the enemy. I am walking in boldness and freedom. In Jesus' name, I bless you, people. I bless them into that freedom. I declare that Jesus has made a path. I pray for everyone who's watching us online right now. In the name of Jesus, we declare peace flows into your home. Freedom comes into your lives. Liberty in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. And we do this all under the authority of the name of Jesus. We act and do, Lord, and administer this freedom in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm praying if there's someone here or watching online and you're watching, you say, I've never even made that first step. I've never even been able to, I'm watching all this on the outside, but I've never made the first step of actually coming to become a follower of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, maybe this is your prayer. Your prayer is, I step into the freedom today that Jesus has paid for me. I become his child and I do all this under his freedom. You know, because I love what it says in the book of Acts chapter 10. It says, Jesus went about doing good and healing everyone who was under the tyranny, under the oppression of the evil one. There comes a time when we can step out from under the devil's control and step into Jesus' place of authority. And so if that's your first prayer today, we stand with you, we encourage you. Just make that a simple prayer, cry me out. Jesus, I step into your place of authority. I step under your rulership. I step under you, and I give you my life so that you bring your freedom to bear into my life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, guys, sing this one more time, and then we're going to release you. If you want particular prayer, if you want someone to lay hands and agree with you, we'll stay back here. Some of the team will stay here and we'll have prayer with you. But otherwise, sing this one song and then we dismiss you. Hallelujah.
And amen. So can we sing this one more time? Then we've got one quick announcement and then we'll finish up. So let's sing it one more time. If you want to have prayer, you can come out the front on the sides and pass we'll have prayer with you now.
Down, you have no place here. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, you have no place here. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. You're not welcome here. So go. Jealousy.